morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Guests, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. Always excited to have guests. And also, for those of you who are members, let us know. We can continue to pray for you. Again, every Sunday we say this, and we really want to pray for you. We want to lift you up to the Lord and to think deeply about you. And one of the ways we can do that is to pray for you. So please help us help you, okay? With that said, we are in the book of Philippians, and we're in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, a very powerful passage of scripture. Perhaps you have this passage of scripture memorized. I titled this sermon, Living with the Peace of God. Living with the Peace of God. Eric Baker was a missionary from Great Britain, and he spent over 50 years in Portugal preaching the gospel. Eric was married, and Eric had 8 children, and during the Second World War, things got really, really tough in Portugal, so he decided to send his wife and 8 children back to England. He also sent his sister and her 3 children back to England, and while they were traveling, the ship got bombed, and everyone on that ship died. The Sunday right after that happened on Sunday morning, Eric had to get up and preach to the congregation, and he received a message saying that every one of his family member died. And Eric got before the congregation, and he said this to the congregation, "I have just received word that all my family have arrived safely home." And he continued to preach. When he was done preaching, the people actually realized exactly what he meant by that, that they all died. And some in the congregation were perplexed to figure out what made Eric, what gave him that particular peace and confidence and even strength to speak the way he spoke. Well, it was the peace of God. That in that very moment, Eric said, God gave him peace. His heart was broken, but God gave him peace to know that his family members, every single one of them, are saved and they will make it to heaven. This reminded me of the story of Horatio Spafford, the man who wrote the great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. He was a lawyer in Chicago, a businessman in Chicago, also a Christian. In the great Chicago fire in the late 1800s, to be precise, 1881, and then what happened, because of all the fire, he decided to send his family to Europe on a trip. And the ship ended up sinking. His 4 daughters died, and only his wife survived. And as he was reuniting with his wife at the very spot that his children died, God gave him the words to speak, a hymn to sing. What's the hymn? Well, the first stanza of the hymn is so important and so powerful. You get it now when he says this. He says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is it really well with your soul? Spafford, yes, it is, because of the peace of God. My friends, we see this morning. This is the peace that Paul is talking about here and is also experiencing. He's talking about it and has also experienced it. Do not forget where Paul was when he wrote this letter. He was in prison. And while he was in prison, this is what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi and what he's saying to you as well. Do not be anxious for nothing. Do you remember when he said that in verse 6? He also mentioned, and he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I hope you caught this. Paul did not say to you, be thankful to God after God has given you your requests. However, he says, let your request be wrapped up in thanksgiving while you're giving it to God, while you're asking God. So you are thanking God before God gives you anything. This is a man of true peace. What else did Paul mention? He says that he is content in all things. As a matter of fact, in verse 11, he says this, whatever situation that I am, I have learned to be content in all things. But how do we get this peace? How do we get this? How do we get the peace of God that Horatio Spafford had, that Eric Baker had, that Paul consistently had throughout his ministry while he is being flogged and stoned? How do we get that peace? Well, if you're asking the question, you're asking a very good question. First of all, that peace is given to those who are saved. First, there is the peace with God. The Bible says we are enemies of God, enemies of the cross. And the way you enter into this relationship with God to have the peace with God, is that you turn away from your sins and you place your hope and trust in Jesus Christ. You repent and you turn to Jesus. The Bible says you're no longer enemies of the cross, but now you are friends of God. You become part of his flock. That's the peace with God. But then at salvation, because you are saved, God deposits the peace of God in you. Well, what do you mean, Kevin? Well, think about it this way. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So God deposits the peace of God in the life of the believer. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 is for believers. You cannot experience the peace of God until you experience peace with God. Then when you have been given peace of God, you appropriate the peace of God. This is what this text is all about. How do you appropriate the peace of God in your life? How do you do this? Well, I'm glad you're asking this, because this is exactly what Paul answers for us. How do we live out God's peace? One, by the way you think. Again, we're talking to believers. You appropriate the peace of God that he has deposited in your life by thinking deeply about God and his word, by setting your mind not on things on this earth, but on things in heaven. By being biblical. We see this in verse 8. Two, by the way you live. By the way you live, by your practice. Where are you getting this from, Kevin? There are only two imperative verbs in those two verses. The first imperative verb is to think. It's a command here. Paul is saying there's no such thing as a Christian who does not think. Christians ought to think deeply about God. This is a problem when Christians say, you know, I don't want to think deep things about God. Who cares about doctrine? It's all about the way you live. I don't want to think deep things, deep theological. No, we ought to think deeply about God. Because thinking deeply about God will lead us to living rightly for God. So we see how they're connected. Join me as we pray together. Father, thank you again for truth. Thank you that we know in Scripture the peace of God has been given to us. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And God, I pray as Christians we appropriate that peace in our lives through the way, by the way we think about you, by the way we live for you, by our obedience. And God, cause us not to be a people filled with stress and anxiety, but a people filled with thanksgiving and joy and peace. If there's any in this room today that belongs to you and they are riddled with anxiety, show them their error and lead them to a place of contentment in Christ. We love you, we worship you, and we exalt you. We ask all of this in Jesus' mighty and precious name, and God's people said, amen. First point here is by the way you think. by the way you think. The word think here, again, is an imperative command in the scripture, and it literally means to ponder, to give proper weight and value to. This is not a thinking of something and it just goes away. This is the kind of thinking that consumes your thought and it consumes your life. Think about anxiety altogether. When you're very anxious about something, it consumes you. It's not something you think about and it just goes away. It wouldn't be anxiety. It consumes everything that you do. What Paul is saying here is instead of anxiety filling your mind, let the peace of God fill your mind in that way. But you think of it often. It's the pillow that you rest your head at night. It's the very vitamin that gives you vibrancy in the daytime. It's the very thing that uplifts you. Think deeply about the things of God is what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Bible leaves no doubt that people's lives are the product of their thoughts. We know this throughout the scriptures. For example, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it declares this, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." What you think is what you become. Your thinking is very powerful in scripture. So scripture tells us that careful thinking is the distinctive mark or distinctive mark of the Christian faith. It is. So we ought to think carefully as Christians. What I like about this is what John Piper mentioned. John Piper wrote a book called Think. And that book was addressed to Christians who don't like to think. And in that he mentioned, the mind serves to know the truth that fuels the fires of the heart. He's right. How are you using your minds? In other words, what Piper is saying is we must think for the glory of God. We must think for the glory of God. And Paul knew this. So here are a few questions to be able to help you. What do you spend your time thinking about? Is it your bank account? Is it what you're going to eat after the service? Are you thinking about your house all the time? Are you thinking about your children all the time? What consumes your thought? What do you fill your mind with? You know, what's amazing is how the world really encouraged people to relieve stress in their lives. It's just very, very crazy. All you have to do is just go to the bookstore, go on Amazon and order any book by a secular author on how to get rid of stress and anxiety in your life. And a lot of times what the world will do is to tell you that you need to bracket out certain thoughts and things in your life. In other words, what they will say to you is this: if there's any negative thoughts, anything negative in your life, just completely ignore it. So if you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, you have cancer, the way the world says you ought to deal with it, and some psychiatrists will say the way you ought to deal with it is just to ignore it. Ignore it. Do something good. Maybe buy a new house. Buy a new car. Go to the mall and get something to make you feel good. But here's the problem. You ignore it for a short time, the problem is still there. And then you open your eyes and you realize that, yeah, the problem is still there. Now I have more debt because of the stuff I just bought. So the way the world is teaching us to deal with our problems and our anxiety is not helping. We are not called to bracket out things. Rather, we are called to bracket in things. And what I mean by this is that we look at the thoughts, like whatever it is, if the doctor says to you that you have cancer, if the doctor says to you that this is what's going to happen, if your children says to you, oh, mommy, daddy, I'm pregnant, the way you deal with it is not to ignore the problem, but to bring the problem to God. Depend on God. Think through these things. Come in closer and watch this. Foolish peace is to bracket things out. Smart peace is to bracket things in. Let me explain this with the statement. Christian peace does not come from simply pushing away negative thoughts. Instead, it relies on God's presence and power to help us face and overcome those thoughts with trust and gratitude. Trust and gratitude. This is how we must do this. And what Paul is saying here is that we ought to think deeply about our lives and what goes on in our lives. But the world doesn't want to think that way, right? As a matter of fact, what the world does is focuses on emotions and pragmatism, never on the things of God. In other words, what the world would say to you is it true? Is it really true? Does it really work? How does it make me feel? That's what the world is only concerned about. Not really biblical truth, but how does it make you feel? Does it really work? It might work for you, it might not work for me. But the Bible says we ought to focus on truth. Think about truth. And who is truth? God is truth. So as a Christian, we think on what is true. Notice the seven things that Paul mentioned, or the several things he mentioned here. He gives us a list of things that we ought to think about. First, he says, whatever is true, meaning that we are reading, analyzing, meditating on the Word of God. So the Word of God is the foundation of our thinking, because it reveals what we cannot see. Do you see this? How can you think on anything that is true? What is true? The Word of God is true. God is true. So how do you appropriate this peace in your life? By thinking about what is true. My friends, grab the Bible and read the Bible and saturate your life in the Bible and believe that the Bible is true. And what you will find is that the very thing that you are anxious about will go away. Why? Because your mind is set on what is true. God is true. His word is true. Secondly, he mentions here, believers ought to think about what is noble. This Greek word gives us an idea of what is reverent, what is meant to worship. And God is. Again, we think about what is noble, what should bring a sense of respect and reverence in our heart, what should bring a sense of worship in our heart. Again, it's God. So we think about the good things about God. That he created the cosmos just by the word, a word that the world was created. He is worthy of our praise. What else does he mention here? Whatever is right. Right here is whatever is righteous. So the believer does what is righteous, again, according to the word of God. He's not okay with lies and flattery. But he wants truth. He wants the word of God to penetrate the hearts of men. And he stands on the word of God. What else does he mention? Whatever is pure. This word pure literally means holy. So the believer is called to be holy. And he pursues what is holy. The way he dresses. He is concerned about worshiping God. The way he speaks, he's concerned about worshiping God. The way he acts, he's concerned about worshiping God. That he is pure. He is righteous. He is holy. Coming closer, I really believe this is one of the missing attributes or even characteristic in a lot of churches today. A lot of Christians today, we no longer have convictions on things. We are walking this world and the world sees us just like them. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We smell like the world. But we ought to be different. Can a lost person look at you and say, I know that person is different and I can see Jesus in him? Maybe that's why we're riddled with anxiety, because we're so much like the world. But when we think about what is pure, it helps us appropriate the peace of God in our lives. Whatever is lovely. This is the only time this Greek word is mentioned in the New Testament. And Paul is referring to, watch this, to thoughts of great moral and spiritual beauty, not of evil. Whatever is lovely. What God has made. What God gets glory from. Whatever is beautiful. What else has he mentioned here? Whatever is commendable. Whatever is commendable. In other passages of Scripture, it says excellent as well, right? Whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. He says, dwell on these things. And what's the promise? That the God of peace will be with you. Watch this. We're familiar with the phrase garbage in and garbage out, right? It's a phrase used in computer science that says about data processing, right? So whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. Whatever information you put in is whatever you're going to get out. And we use it today to explain even just normal life. Whatever you put in your mind is what is going to come out. So if you put filthy things in your mind, what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, what you see, whatever you're downloading in your mind is what's going to come out. And Scripture says that as well. So we are to examine our minds, examine what we put in there. Because whatever you put in is what's going to come out. The question is, are you riddled with anxiety and stress? Perhaps it's because you've put so much in your mind that is not of the Lord. Your body cannot contain it, and therefore there is more anxiety and more stress. My friends, what we need to put in is the Word of God. What is true, what is noble, what is good, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy, and we are promised that the God of peace will be with us. Notice with me the second point. Live out what you have learned. We see this in verse 9. Turn and look for yourself. Chapter 4, verse 9. Let's read it together. He says, and what you have learned and what you have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. We cannot, watch this, we cannot, coming closer, we cannot separate godly living from godly thinking. We cannot. You know, the funny thing is, like Greek philosophers, this is what they believe. They believe to attain peace, you had to focus on your virtues instead of the main thing that you were actually wanting to desire. For example, if you're desiring a family or you're desiring a business, the way they will tell you, the Greek philosophers will say to you, the way you attain to that is really focusing on the virtue to get there. Don't focus on just the family, or don't focus on just a business. And the reason why they're saying is because you never know. You can get the business and the business could fall. And when it falls, it brings more stress in your life. You can get the family and your family can die. And when they die, it can bring more stress in your life. So what they say is the one thing that cannot be changed is your virtue. But they're wrong. It sounds great, but they're absolutely wrong. Your virtues can change as well. It can. And you cannot depend on your virtues. And this is why St. Augustine went against the Greek philosophers when they mentioned stuff like that. For him, he went even further. And he says, you cannot trust or put your hope in your family or your business. You cannot even put your hope and peace in what you do, even in your virtues. Rather, the only place that you can find peace and put your hope in is in God. It's in God. This is what St. Augustine mentioned. He says, God alone is the place of peace because the human heart was created for him. Every other refuge leaves us restless. Only in God do we find true rest and lasting peace. You get this? Are you trying to find peace in your hobbies and be playing golf if you're stressed, right? I'm not saying it's wrong to do stuff like that, but if you think your ultimate peace is going to come from playing golf, when you're done playing golf, the problem is still there. If you think it's hunting, when you come back, it's still there. If you think it's fishing, it's still there. If you think it's shopping, it's still there. Our peace is found in Christ, and in Christ alone. So we must place our peace in Jesus. You know, what I like about this is that the Apostle Paul focuses on biblical doctrines. Notice the four things that he mentioned here. Whatever you have learned. What have the church at Philippi learned? They learned the gospel. They learned the word of God. If you remember very carefully, when Paul went and he evangelized to the people, usually Paul would go into a particular city or a town and he would find a synagogue and he would preach the gospel. For some reason, Philippi probably did not have a large group of Jewish people. However, he found women and he ministered to them. Lydia was one of them. And they gave their life to Christ. So they learned the gospel. They learned the word of God. We know certain people who were from the area of Philippi. Lydia is one in a household. Syntyche and Yodia are two other women who were leaders in the church. Epaphroditus also. Every single one of them learned the gospel and they learned the word of God. They're learning biblical doctrines, things about God. What else has he mentioned? Receive. What did they receive? They received the word of God. Like the Bereans, they received God's word joyfully, exulting in Christ. The church at Philippi did the same thing. Have you learned the word of God? Have you received the word of God? What else has he mentioned here? They heard the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. They heard the gospel. They heard truth from the word of God. They saw the word of God being activated in the life of Paul. They saw Paul's biblical living. And all of that was great encouragement for the church to make much of Christ. And what Paul says here is that they ought to live out the gospel. Watch this and coming closer. Christians are to make their practice to lead godly, obedient life. Notice the next word he mentions here. He says all of these things, what you have heard, what you've learned, what you've saw, right? What you've received. He says what? Practice these things. This word practice, right, is a very unique word. It gives us an idea of continuously doing something and not giving up. So, for example, that word will probably be used of a lawyer or a doctor when we say that he has a practice. When we say a doctor has a practice or a lawyer has a practice, what do we mean? They are practicing these things. They have clients, right? They have people who come to them and they're consistently practicing. In the same way, what Paul is saying is that Christians don't have a timeout. Christians don't have a vacation from these things. They ought to practice these things. We live out a Christian life and we ought to consistently do it. So we don't say to ourselves we have a sabbatical from living a Christian life. Right? I get a break. I don't have to do these things. No, Paul is saying we ought to practice these things. And by practicing these things, we are appropriating the peace of God in our lives. I love what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 mentions. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of the former ignorance. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, what Peter is saying is you're characterized, Christians, as obedient children. It is who we are. It is what we must do. So as we appropriate the things of God in our lives, guess what happens? We find ourselves having more and more peace. So as I close, think with me. I want to ask a few questions. How is your thinking as a believer? How is it? Are you thinking about the deep things of God? Are you thinking about the Word of God? How is your thinking? Is the foundation of your thinking the Bible? Is it? Or is it just the philosophies of this world? The foundation ought to be the Bible, that we read it, we meditate upon it, we regurgitate it, we apply it. Are you thinking deeply? And how is your practice? How is your practice? I want to say this to you as we close. Watch this. When it comes to good works, the Protestant church, we struggle tremendously with this. And the reason why we struggle with good works is because we have seen on the opposite side how people would say good works will equate to salvation, or good works will give you salvation. So whenever we see good works in the Bible, we just don't know what to do with it. But we should know what to do with it. When Paul says good works here, or practice here, practice these things, Paul is saying because you are a believer, you are practicing these things. These things you are practicing is not meant to give you salvation, but because you are saved, you ought to do this. And by practicing these things, you are appropriating the peace of God in your life. So let's not be confused here. Good works is important, especially with appropriating the peace of God in your life. So are you doing that? Are you watching over your lives? Are you reading the Bible? Are you caring for others? Are you praying for others? Are you declaring war on your sin? That's the good works. So I pray that you will desire more and more the peace of God in your life. You need it. I need it. We are all going through something, and you never know that whatever you're going through right now, if it's going to be worse. We never know. We're not promised that. What we are promised is the peace of God. So my friends, can you grab hold of Scripture? Can you think of what is true, what is noble, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy? And will you practice these things? The Word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and never depart from it. Join me as we pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the peace that you have given us. We have peace with you, and we have the peace of God deposited in the life of the believer. And I pray that we can appropriate these things in our lives by the way we think and by the way we act. So let us think good thoughts. Let us believe on biblical things, O Lord. And let us act. Let us pursue righteousness and holiness. To teach us how to do that, O Lord. In your mighty and precious name, amen. Amen.